Christina Enriquez is the author of The Book of Unknown Americans, and also The World in Half and Come Together, Fall Apart, A Novella and Stories, which was a New York Times Editor's Choice selection. She was featured in Virginia Quarterly as one of fiction's new luminaries. Christina's stories and nonfiction have been published in many prestigious publications, including The New Yorker, The Atlantic, The Oxford American, The American Scholar, and in the anthologies of This Is Not Chick Lit, original stories by America's best women writers. Christina earned her undergraduate degree from Northwestern and is a graduate of the Iowa's Writers' Workshop. She lives in Chicago. Today, we'll speak with her about her newsmaking title, The Book of Unknown Americans. Welcome, Christina. It's a pleasure to have you with us on The Book Report.
Thanks for having me.
Why the title, The Book of Unknown Americans?
That's a funny thing. I came up with the title about halfway through writing the book, and it was really important to me to have the word Americans in the title. I knew that there were some people, and in fact there were people along the way who said, but are they all really Americans, all the characters in the book? And they're all immigrants from all over Latin America, but they think of themselves as Americans, and it was really important to me to honor that and to put that word in the title. And then the fact that they're unknown was just getting at this idea that they're a population who's sometimes overlooked, or there are stories that are sometimes overlooked and not heard. So I wanted to talk about that, too.
Can you give us an overview of the story and introduce us to the Rivera and the Toro family?
Yeah, it's a story that's about all these immigrants from all over Latin America, like I said, who all live in one apartment building in Delaware. But it really focuses on two families. One is the Toros, who come from Panama right after the fall of Noriega. And that story is narrated by their 16-year-old son, Mayor Toro. And he feels more American than anything else, even though he was born in Panama. He's grown up in the United States. And at some point early in the book, a family moves in their apartment building, and they're the Riveras. And they've come because their daughter, Maribel, has suffered a brain injury in Mexico, where they're from. So they're coming to get her the education that she needs and the kind of care that she needs to get better. And Mayor ends up falling in love with Maribel. And the Rivera's story is narrated by Maribel's mother, Alma. And it sort of goes back and forth between these two narrators. And then all interspersed are the voices of different neighbors who also live in the building. And they each get a chance at some point for two or three pages to tell their own stories of coming to the United States.
You know, the New York Times described the way your book was written as a choral structure, each of the characters speaking in the first person. Why did you take this path?
I love that description. That was really my intention all along, was to have it function as a chorus of all these voices, and that it would, you know, be this kind of swelling emotional feeling to have everybody back to back and to hear all the stories. And doing it in first person seemed the most natural way to do it. I mean, it just seemed like it had to be. It was the most authentic, the closest to each of those characters. Now, the challenge, of course, was trying to differentiate all of them enough so that they sounded, you know, like their own individual selves. But that was also sort of the fun of writing it.
One of your characters, Fito Angelino, asks, who comes to the United States and ends up in Delaware? Okay, why Delaware?
There are a few reasons. I was born in Delaware, so I just wanted to write partly about a place that's close to me. But also it's true that there is a large immigrant population in Delaware that people don't realize lives there necessarily. And the reason that they're there, as Fito explicates, is because there's these mushroom farms over in Pennsylvania who had a lot of Latino labor that they had brought over at certain points throughout history. And then those people ended up living in Delaware, where it's a little cheaper. There's no sales tax, for example, which is like when you drive into Delaware, that's what it says on the state sign, you know, home of no sales tax. And so these people have stayed and built homes and built real communities there, you know, but I wanted to say that this is not a story that's just happening in New York or in Houston or in Miami or in Los Angeles. This is a story that's happening in basically every pocket of the United States. It's really an American story.
Mayor speaks about his nationality, Panamanian or American. Here's his quote. "The truth was, I didn't know which I was. I wasn't allowed to claim the thing I felt, and I didn't feel the thing I was supposed to claim." For kids who emigrate to this country, does this ever change? And does it perhaps provide a stronger sense of self?
You just identified, I think, what's probably my favorite line in the book.
Hooray for me!
And it's also the most personal line for me. I was born in the United States and grew up in the United States, but my father's from Panama, and I have had that dual identity my whole life of being half American, half Panamanian. Some of the things that happened to Mayor in the book, like of people calling him a Pan at school, short for Panamanian, happened to me in high school. I remember a particular time when people came over to my house, and you know, you keep like baking soda in the refrigerator sometimes just to keep it fresh, and somebody saw it in a little tub in my parents' refrigerator, and where somebody started joking, "Oh, it's cocaine, you must be related to Noriega," you know, like those kind of slights are things that have lived with me my whole life. And yet when I go to Panama, they see me as completely American, you know, my relatives there. So I never am totally sure where I fit in. And I think it isn't something that goes away. I mean, my dad came to the United States from Panama in 1971, and he came to Delaware to study chemical engineering. And he's been here ever since. He thought he would get his degree and go back, and he ended up meeting my mom, and he stayed. He's been here almost 40 years now. But even in him, I've seen close up that sort of divide or that struggle between where does he belong? Does he belong here in the United States, or does he still belong in Panama? And is it possible to belong in both places simultaneously? You know, I think that would be sort of the ultimate resolution, to feel like you don't have to choose, that you can do both things at once. But sometimes it's hard to feel like that.
We're speaking with Christina Enriquez on The Book Report.
This book was inspired by my dad. It's dedicated to my dad. And I told him at one point that it was inspired by his story, and he stopped me and he said, "I don't have a story." And I was like, "What do you mean you have a story?" And he said it again, "I don't have a story. My story is the same as anybody's." And in the one hand, that's true, and that's part of the reason that I wrote the book, because it's an ordinary story, and because that's why it's important to me, that we should celebrate ordinary stories, not just the spectacular stories that make the front pages of newspapers and all that kind of thing, that fiction has a unique role to be able to celebrate ordinary human stories.
I guess we need to speak about the news, Obama's plan for sweeping changes to immigration. What is your perspective?
My mom is a translator in the school district in Delaware, which is also part of the inspiration for this book. And she works with a lot of immigrant families who this will probably directly impact in ways that are good. And I think, for me, I think this was moral and necessary kind of action. I think Obama has been trying to court the Republicans and work with the Republicans for a long time to get something done. Nothing had been getting done. To me, it seems completely reasonable that he would act now and do this. And I think it's funny, I was listening to CNN this morning in my hotel room, and you know, the story on CNN was like, what is the political fallout of this? You know, and to me, that's so wrong. Like, it's like, let's not talk about what the political fallout of this is. Of course, there will be a political fallout on both sides. But let's talk about how this affects real people, real families. And I think that's the perspective that my mom has given me by telling me about some of the people, the families that she works with, who have come to the United States trying to do all the right things. Like the characters in the book, they come because, you know, they need their child to get a better education or to get health care or, you know, whatever the reasons are. They're certainly not coming to just like thwart the, you know, entire American society. I mean, that just seems crazy to even believe that. So when I think specifically about some of those families she works with and how it will impact them, it seems extremely clear to me that this kind of action was the right kind of action. And frankly, it probably should have happened sooner.
Has the book been released in Spanish?
Yes.
What's the different reaction between English readers and Spanish readers?
I haven't heard firsthand from a lot of the Spanish readers, but this was one of my favorite things about the publication of this book, is that it came out simultaneously from Vintage Español in Spanish in the United States, which means, and none of my work has been translated before, so it means that for the first time, my family in Panama can read one of my books, which is really exciting for me.
Congratulations. Any final thoughts about the book?
Just that, again, it was inspired by, you know, telling these human stories and having people's voices be known. So one of the things I did is started a website called unknownamericans.tumblr.com it's open to anyone. People can go and share their own real life story of coming to the United States or a family member's story. And it's just kind of a way to keep the spirit of the book going. So, you know, that people have a place where we can hear these stories, because I think that's so important.
Christina, I love the book. It's wonderful to read, and it has such a moving, impactful message. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.